unto myself, says the Lord, because I love you. I want to work my will out in your life. I want to perform my word through you. I want to lead you to victory. I want to fill your heart with good things because I love you. My love for you will never fail. It will never fade or change. But because I love you, I do the things I do for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 66. And we're going to get there in just a moment. And last Wednesday, I started a thing called Active Faith Activates a Blessing. And I want to just give a little bit further explanation. You know that the entrance of God's Word brings light, right? And the more word you get on something, the more light comes in. So the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, active faith is operational faith. All right? Active faith is operational faith. You know, if you have a piece of equipment, it usually comes with an operator's manual, right? And that manual tells you how to operate that piece of equipment. It gives you instructions, directions. It helps you solve some minor problems in the operations manual. Well, God's given us an operations manual, hasn't it? Okay? So, as you hear truth, faith comes to your heart and it forms a belief in your heart and it can become stronger and stronger. Okay? It can grow. It can expand. It can increase. Then, as a belief is formed in your heart, you act out that belief with corresponding actions. Okay? If you believe that Jesus is your Savior, you will run to Him and make Him your Lord. Right? That's a corresponding action, confessing Jesus as Lord. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Then the more you hear the Word of God, then your faith gains strength. It's fortified. It's reinforced. So God designed His Word to be continual and perpetual. So we should never stop hearing God's Word. All right? It's designed to go throughout your life. You know, oftentimes in Deuteronomy, the Bible says when you wake up, when you go to bed, it's talking about the Lord, talking about the Word, right? The Word of God should infiltrate every area of your life throughout every day of your life. And what happens is then you use the Word to face challenges and overcome, to solve problems, all right? And to create atmospheres. And then as faith energizes you, it energizes your life, you will be highly motivated to share your faith with others and to testify what you believe, which we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to talk about the sharing of your faith. All right? And then finally, as you take the beliefs that are formed from God's Word, you convert them into a practical way of living. You know, the Bible is practical, isn't it? All right? And then you maintain your beliefs over a long period of time. That forms a lifestyle. You can read throughout the Bible, God didn't intend for us just to accept it. He intended for us to accept it and live by it. Right? When you come to Christ, you have to change the way you live. You change the way you speak. You change the way you think. Okay? So, let's go to Psalm 66. And I want to encourage you tonight about the importance of sharing your faith. Your faith was meant to be shared. It was never meant to keep to yourself. Us four and no more. Right? Okay, Psalm 66 and verse 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Notice what it says. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will what? Declare what He has done for what? Has God done something for your soul? Nobody? Amen? Well, if God's done, see, God's soul. And it excites you, it energizes you, it encourages you that you cannot be silent about it. Because people will see the change that's taken place in your life and they'll ask you questions. Right? Because sometimes Christ is so different than what you were before Christ. Okay? Jacob stopped tricking people when he got serious with God. He was known as a supplanter, a trickster. But when he got serious with God, his name was changed to Israel, a prince of God. He quit acting like a trickster and started acting like a prince. Peter was named Simon. And he was made a pebble. Jesus said, Peter, you are a rock. That word rock means pebble. And then the word rock, and upon this rock I will build my revelation. He's not referring to Peter. He's referring about the revelation of who Jesus is. So Simon was changed into Peter. And Peter had his ups and downs, but there was a point in time when he got serious with God and he became an apostle. And he was fishing for people full time because of the change that took place in his life. Come and hear, all you who fear God. I will declare what He has done for my soul. If God has done something for your soul, then share it with others. Okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And this is the story of a man whom Jesus encountered. He was from the Gadarenes, or Gadara. And verse 2 of Mark chapter 5, verse 2, Mark 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with what? An unclean spirit. Okay? This man was possessed. This man was tormented. This man, he dwelt among the tombs. Imagine if you went to Gravel Hill Cemetery and you saw a guy with a tent camping out there, night after night. Okay? And, no man could bind him. I mean, if you're living in a cemetery, you're probably not showering. You're probably not brushing your teeth. Okay? He lived among the tombs. He lived among dead people. And you couldn't bind him. You couldn't put handcuffs on him because he would break them. He would break chains and fetters. He'd break him in pieces, and no man could tame him. Now, if you're living in the tombs, you're probably not combing your hair. And verse 5, always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine you're driving down Railroad Street and you're passing Gravel Hill and you hear this guy, ah! Ah! If you lived near there, you'd want to move. Because everything the officials tried to do couldn't stop this from happening. See, when the devil controls your life, that's what happens. He makes you harm yourself. He makes you do crazy things. Night and day, he was doing this. Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. The man who was possessed with the devil could not stop to worship God. I mean, the devil could not stop the man from worshiping God. The man was compelled when he saw Jesus, he came and worshiped him. You know, Jesus represents the Word. Okay? You have to think about this. This man probably was highly criticized by people. You're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be good. You're crazy. You need to be put in a mental institution. All that stuff. But see, the Word, when the Word comes in, it changes the atmosphere. And Jesus, the Word, entered this man's atmosphere. And his life was about to change. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God?" Listen, the devils know who Jesus is. "I adjure you by God that you torment me not." When are the devils going to be tormented? When Jesus returns and they get thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, that's what he was referring to. Verse 8, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He addresses the problem. "Come out of him, you unclean spirit." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." No telling how many devils that was in that man. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." See, devils are territorial. He was adjuring Jesus not to send him out from that territory. There was something about that territory that he liked, I guess, the demons. And then there was a herd of swine. Jesus sent the devils into the herd of swine, and the herd of swine ran off the cliff. Man, the pigs don't even want devils in them. Okay? Devils need a body to operate on the earth, whether it be an animal or a person. Okay? And Jesus gave them leave. All right? Look at verse 15. "And they came to Jesus," the people who were taking care of the pigs, "and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting." Everybody say sitting. Say clothed. So he was running around naked too. "And in his right mind." So he was sitting, he was in his right mind, and he was clothed. All because he met the Word. Totally, completely changed his life. Here's what I want to get to. Verse 18. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Let me tell you something. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you want to be close to him, you want to be near him, you want to be with him. Because he is amazing. He's the best thing going on. "And Jesus," verse 19, "suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to your friends." Everybody say your friends. "And tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has compassion on you. This man could not earn what Jesus gave him freely. Jesus did it because he loves people. And he hates them to be oppressed. And he'll free them if you cooperate with him. But if you don't want to cooperate with him, you can have your bondage. This man wanted to go with Jesus, but he said, no, go home, tell your friends what the Lord has done for you. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish, that means proclaim. Notice that city, Decapolis. When you think of the word Deca, what do you think of? 10. This was a 10 cities. And began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So he went and declared to people what God had done for him. They knew him. The people who were taking care of the pigs were amazed at how much he changed. And he began his assignment by telling people what God has done for me. Has God done something for you? Then that's all you need to tell. Well, what if they don't receive me? Doesn't matter. Tell them anyway. Well, what if they don't listen? Find someone that will. See, we need to break the fear that the devil uses to hinder you from sharing your faith. He binds you with what people think, and you don't even know what they think. You just think you know what they think. Do you realize Jairus lived in this area? Watch this. Verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. You think Jairus heard the man's testimony of how he got delivered from being possessed with devils, how he got brought out of the filth and was cleaned in a moment? It was the man who was possessed. It was his testimony, how he went and shared with his friends in the area, that caused Jairus to come to Jesus. So how important is your story? How important is your testimony? How important is what Jesus has done for you to someone else? You don't even know what the impact that your story will have. But you must get your story out. You must be a witness. You must share. First of all, you share by how you live. Secondly, you share with your words. You engage people in conversation. And you talk about Jesus. Unashamedly, unhindered, you have nothing to fear, because perfect love has come into your heart and cast fear out. You don't have to turn there, but just listen to Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. This was David's prayer after he sinned and was confronted about his sin. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Look, God, I messed up. I made a mistake. Forgive me, and I'll teach others about you. And he goes, and sinners shall be converted to you. David made it a point that when he prayed to God for his forgiveness, he was going to be an example to others and tell others. What about Jesus' cousin? The Bible says in John 1, verses 6 through 8, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Did you know that you testify to the light by your words and your deeds? Your light is either bright or it's not so bright. First John, go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. This all has to do with our faith. The reason that you formed a belief is so that you could now live for Jesus. And we need to be engaging our neighbors, our community, wherever we are. Doesn't matter if you're at Walmart. And if you see an opportunity, you see someone, you start talking to them. Talk to them about natural things and bring it to spiritual things. Jesus talked to a woman about drinking water from a well. He started a conversation about a woman who was at a well. His conversation was about water at first. And then he moved from water to spiritual water. See, he started off just ordinary, everyday things. He engaged her in conversation. And he began to share with her more as the conversation progressed. And she wanted to know more and more until she desired what he was offering. And she accepted it. And what did she do when she accepted what Jesus said? She went and told the town. And then half the town came out. First John 4, verses 13 and 14. By this we know that we abide in him. Do you know that you abide in him? Where's the proof that you know? See, to know means you're convinced, you're persuaded. Okay? By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and what? Testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior to the world. Are you testifying that there's a Savior in your life? Or do you just have your Christianity on cruise control? See, the problem with cruise control is nice until you're approaching two lanes of vehicles that are cars ahead of you, and they're not going as fast as you. Then cruise control becomes a problem. Because if you leave it on cruise control and there's cars ahead of you, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. If you encounter vehicles that are going slower than you and you've got it set on cruise control, you got to take it off cruise control and you got to hit the gas or hit the brake, whichever. But God wants us to testify. He wants us to share. He wants us to witness. And guess what? He's given you power to witness. Acts 1:8, behold, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He leaps on you like a frog leaps on a lily pad. And he gets on you and he gets all over you. And you'll be like, whoo, whoo, whoo. And when he gets on you, he energizes you to tell others. I'm going to Africa so that I can tell others. I certainly don't like being away from my family for 2 weeks. Because I love my family. But there's a love that's greater than my family. It's called my Father God. And when he calls me, I go. And I'm going to go. And this is a natural term. I'm going to preach my guts out. Just got an email from Bishop. He said, you're going to be busy. They added two more extra things to our itinerary. But you know what? There's going to be great grace on me to do that. it's for a time, it's for a season. We're going to sow some seed. And we're going to reap a harvest, because there was a prophecy given to me about other countries. So I'm just going to go with God. Amen? But you know what? There's an area right here in Palmyra that people need to hear your story. They need to hear how the Lord touched you. They need to hear how the Lord healed you. They need to hear how the Lord has changed you. And it's nice if you actually live up to that. Because that makes a greater impact. I mean, if you're witnessing to someone and you're not living it, eventually it's not going to be good. So live it and give it. That's a word from the Lord. Live it and give it. Live the word and give the word. Everybody say, live it and give it. That just came to me right now. That's an inspiration. That's an inspired word. Live it and give it. And see, it'll be apparent if you're living it or not. God told Peter after he was delivered from prison in Acts 5. He said, go stand in the... This is Acts 5:20. Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. My friend used to do that to me. His name was Michael from Illinois. And back in my day, McDonald's was the hot spot for the teenagers. Friday night, you'd have 50 or 60 teenagers hanging out at the Peru McDonald's. And we would go there for the purpose of witnessing. I've told you this story before, but it's still true, and it's good right now. He was a very energetic person, Michael. And he would say, hey, everybody, listen up. And then he'd point to me and say, he's got something to tell you. He'd get their attention, and then he'd put the ball in my court and be like, ah. And I mean, we were radical in our witnessing. He built a cross, and he would take that to functions, and we would pass out tracts, and we would pray for people, and we would tell people about Jesus, and we would put up with the criticism, and sometimes it looked like it was dangerous. We encountered demonic people. Some of you haven't heard this, but we encountered one of his friends that used to do drugs. And his friend came up to Michael. We were together witnessing, and he said, got anything for the head? Got anything for the head? And Michael says, you know what? I got something for your heart. Let me tell you about Jesus. All of a sudden, when he said Jesus, this guy went, ain't got to worry about Judas. We took care of him. Those were the words that came out of his mouth. We had some big-time demonic people in Illinois, let me tell you. I'm so thankful I got saved. But this is the importance. Listen, God came to build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And guess what? You are on Nehemiah's building team. Just as Nehemiah employed all the people who were living in Jerusalem at the time to build the wall, some built the wall, some carried weapons, they worked side by side together. Guess what? You're builders of God's wall. You're builders of God's church. God is using you. He's given you hands to lay on the sick. He's given you a mouth to speak his word. He's given you the ability. He'll give you the encouragement. He gives you the power. He gives you the leading. Don't think you can't. We're living in a day when we need some people who aren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. We're not ashamed to read our Bibles. We're not ashamed to actually choose to live by the words in the book. God needs some people. He needs a remnant who will tell his story. Young people, old people, women, children, men. He needs them all. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, it says, he who wins souls is wise. How many want to be wise? Well, win some souls. How do you win souls? You sow the word. And guess what? Some will reject the word. Some will accept the word. Some won't live the word. But you know what? That doesn't excuse you from sowing it. Your responsibility is to sow it. You are not responsible for what they do with it. You don't even have to convince people that it's true. You just have to tell them what Jesus did for you. And this is some good stuff tonight. If anything, consider this a wake-up call to be about the Father's business. Jesus, at the age of 12, his parents left, and he was hanging out at the temple for a couple days. And it wasn't until about the second day they noticed, wait a minute, Mary says, Joseph, you got Jesus? Joseph said, no, I thought you had Jesus. Where's Jesus? Jesus! Oh my goodness, we left him in Jerusalem. Jesus was not playing arcades. Jesus was not swimming in the pool. Jesus was in the temple. He was talking to a group of Pharisees and doctors of the law, having in-depth conversation about the word with them. Because the Bible says they were kind of amazed at his questions. He was witnessing. And his mom said, she finally found him, you know, Jesus, hey mom, don't sweat it. Did you know that I'd be about my Father's business? Let me tell you something. If there's any business in life that you need to be about, it's your Father's business first. If you let anything come between you and the Father, maybe that other thing's a God. And then when the devil comes knocking and tries to seek to steal, kill, and destroy you, you're not going to have the tools necessary to defeat him. Go to Acts 18. Acts 18. Verses 9 through 11. This is good. Acts 18, 9. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. See, God will encourage you. He'll show you where to go, what to say. So that means all your excuses are useless. If you think you can give God excuses as to why you can't do what he said, when you get to heaven, have a talk with Moses and see how that went. Moses gave every excuse in the book why he couldn't do what God said, and he ran out of excuses. And he ended up doing what God said. So don't play the excuse game. Just do it when he says, when he asks you to do something, just do it when he asks you. It saves a whole lot of time and anything. Okay, Acts 18:9. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent. Don't be afraid to speak and don't keep silent. For I am with you. There is no greater encouragement than to know that God is with you. When you know that God is with you, you can go anywhere, you can face anyone, because you will know that you will have the victory no matter what. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. He continued there a year and 6 months. That was very unusual for Paul to stay in a place that long, but God had a lot of people that he had to spend a year and 6 months reaching them. Teaching the word of God among them. a year and 6 month assignment. Don't be afraid to speak. Don't keep silent. I'm with you. I've got many people. He'll show you where the harvest is. The harvest is already among us. The harvest is plentiful. What's the problem? The laborers are few. We got very few people who are real with Jesus. Because they love other things more than Jesus. And you can't hide it because it shows up in your behavior. Jesus, when he left this earth, said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things which I have said. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go, because I'm letting you use my authority." You're going with his authority. You're going with his direction. Isaiah 62:6, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "The watchman shall never hold their peace." A watchman would watch on the wall for enemies coming to the city. They would be alert. They would watch. See, we got to be like a watchman and watch for opportunities. What are you doing? I'm looking for an opportunity to share Jesus with someone. One time, when I was attending school, it was during a holiday, and I took a flight home, and there was this young guy who sat next to me. I forgot his name because it's been years and years and years ago. But what I do on a plane is I read the Bible, I sleep, and I read some more and maybe watch something or whatever. Depending on, 13 hours. My first flight is 13 hours, so I'm going to do some things. Anyway, but I shared with this young man, and he sent me a Christmas card when he got to his home about his experience, about us sharing and changing his life. You've got to get in the habit of sharing wherever you are. If you go out to eat, don't just talk about coffee or French fries. Talk to the wait person. Sometimes I always ask people, I'll say, "If you could make all the money in the world doing whatever you want, what would you do?" It kind of indicates to them what their purpose is. And I start a conversation that way. But we've got to break out of this shell of whatever is hindering us from sharing Jesus with people. We're living in the last days. People are going to fall from the faith. But never did God tell his church to stop sharing. People may fall from the faith, but we shouldn't fall from sharing. Because it's part of our faith. This is one way that your faith grows. I don't know what to do. Find someone who knows what to do and go with them. Or trust the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. What a concept. 1 Peter 3:15. "Be ready always," everybody say always, "to give an answer for the hope that is in you." Well, maybe some people don't have hope, and that's the problem why they can't give an answer. Are you ready always to give an answer for the hope that is within you at 12 o'clock at night, at 6 o'clock in the morning? That covers late people and early people. Notice it said, "Be ready always." How do you stay ready? You attend church regularly. You worship God. You read your Bible. You pray. That's how you stay ready. Can you think about it? All the places that Jesus traveled, he was always ready. He didn't have to get ready. He was always ready. Because he spent a lot of time at night when no one else was around praying to his Father. Well, I don't have time to pray. Listen, Jesus took sleep time and made it prayer time. See, you'll find time to do the things that you need to do as a Christian if you're really serious. But if you're not, no big deal. You won't be asked a lot of questions about the hope that is within you. But I'm talking to the people who are serious about God, who are following Him fervently. Everybody say fervently. Fervent means passion. Passionately. You are passionately pursuing God. And if you were sitting right here, you would have just gotten a shower. Sylvester the cat would make a good preacher, except no one would sit in the front row. He would say, "Suffering Satan, I taught a devil." It's a weird night tonight. James 5:20 says this: "He which converts a sinner from the error of his way saves the soul from death." Oh, I'm sorry. I misquoted one earlier. I said Daniel. It's actually Proverbs 11:30. "He who wins souls is wise." I apologize for that. I said Daniel. Did you know that Peter, he believed the statement that Jesus made, "The works that I do, you shall do also"? Him and James were walking to the temple. They were going to church at the hour of prayer. They were just on their way to church, and there happened to be a guy there at the gate who was lame. And he was begging because that's all that he could do. Now, it was Peter and John. I said James. I don't know why I said James, but it was Peter and John. Now, Peter and John were just filled with the Holy Ghost not too long ago. They were energized. They were passionate. And they're on their way. They're going to victory for prayer, making it modern. And outside, sitting on the curb, there was a lame guy. And he was begging. They're like, "Man, Pastor Doug's starting in a minute. I got to go inside." The man, him and Peter locked eyes, and Peter knew. The Holy Ghost was saying, "Peter, this is your opportunity. This is your moment. If you really believe what Jesus said, this is your moment." Peter looked at him. And the man was getting excited. Peter said, "Look at me." He was like, "Okay, these boys are ready to empty their pockets." "Yes. Silver and gold have I none." "What? But such as I have, I give to you." He took him by the hand and said, "Rise up and walk." What Peter gave him could not be bought with $1 million. He gave him life. He gave him the life of God that was in his heart, that was coursing through his veins. He said, "Rise up and walk. Arise and walk." And the man who could not walk started to walk. And he was leaping and jumping, following them to church. Well, you talk about getting someone excited to come to church. Because Peter really believed what Jesus said. And he was willing to step out on God's word. I mean, it wasn't like Peter had that information before he got to that situation. It's just that situation unfolded because Peter was ready. See, you're going to encounter situations, but if you're not ready, you could miss opportunities. Jesus told his disciples in Mark, he said, believers shall lay hands on the sick. He didn't say preachers. He didn't say pastors. He didn't say evangelists. He said believers. How many believers are in here tonight? Guess what? You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's got to be willing to do it. And that man was completely healed of his disease. And see, another thing is you got to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to have your agenda interrupted from time to time to be a witness. Oh yeah, witnessing sometimes comes unscheduled. Peter's meditating. He's having a moment with God and he hears a knock on the door. Oh man. I was just getting into this revelation, man. What's going on? It was not planned. But sometimes you got to go with the flow. Right? So when he went to Cornelius' house, men from Cornelius came and got Peter. God said, go with him. Don't ask any questions. Don't doubt anything. Just go. Okay? Here we go. When he got there, he saw a house full of people. Didn't even know what he was going to say. He did not even take his notes. That'd be an issue with me. But here at Victory Christian Fellowship, I'm talking to believers in Jesus Christ. I'm talking to young and old people, and I want to encourage you to start sharing your faith. God, you have faith in you, not for yourself, but to share with others. Be bold. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Practice. Go up to a stranger. And just engage in a conversation. Just start talking about natural things and let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. God wants to use you. My job is to train people for the work of the ministry. This is training. Amen? Listen, I'm just going to close with this. In release time, I always tell Carolyn I'm available for whatever. I mean, I do skits, I do teaching, I do things that I'm not so comfortable with, but I do them, why? To reach them. Sometimes you got to be willing to be uncomfortable and do something that you don't normally do so that you can reach some people, so that you can share the gospel with them. Amen? But God is looking for some people, young and old, who will be witnesses, who will share their faith because they're so excited about Jesus, because he is so good, he is so awesome, he is so incredible. I mean, let's face it. You eat at a good restaurant, what do? Oh, you wouldn't believe where I ate last night. It was so good. You're telling people about a restaurant. We do that all the time. But, oh, when it comes to Jesus, I just don't know what to say. I can't do it for Jesus. Yes, you can. If you can do it for a restaurant, you can do it for Jesus. If you can do it for a pair of tennis shoes, you can do it for Jesus. If you can do it for a video, hey, oh, did you see this video? Oh, yeah. You can do it for Jesus, which is going to give you a greater reward. Amen? I want you to stand up. Tonight, if you're listening to us, I just want to encourage you. God called you to be a witness. He created you. And he brought you out of darkness so that you could be his billboard for light. And I just want to encourage you, make a decision in your heart tonight that you're going to share your faith. You're going to form those beliefs in your heart by hearing God's word. And you're going to be energized by those beliefs. And you're just going to share. Just share with others what God has done for you. If God has done something for you, if he saved you, if he healed you, if he's touched you, just share that with others. That's all that we need to do. And God will work with you, and you'll see great things. And if you see someone that's sick, just go up to them and say, hey, is it all right if I pray with you? And just say, be healed in Jesus' name. That's all you got to do. Just step out in faith. God bless you. There's no anointing that I can pray for you to stir yourself up. But what I'm going to ask you to do tonight is this. Those who are interested in being witnesses for Jesus, I want you to just come forward and I want you just to tell God, God, here I am, send me.